بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the 12th hadith, and it is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. An Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu qal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعني حديث حسن ورواه الترمذي وغيره هكذا. Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه narrates that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, from the goodness of a person's Islam is to leave alone that which does not concern him. And the hadith has been collected by at-Tirmidhi and other than him. And as usual, in explaining this hadith, we'll begin by speaking about the narrator, who is Abu Hurairah. And previously we spoke about and we gave a concise biography of Abu Hurairah, and he is Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr al-Dawsi, the one who narrated the most amount of hadith. And one of the things which is famous about Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu is how obedient he was to his mother while she was a non-Muslim, and also afterwards while she became a Muslim, when she became a Muslim. And how he used to do small acts of kindness in obedience to his mother. The story of how his mother came to Islam is a long story, and maybe if we come across another hadith, we'll study it at that time. But one of the narrations, he said, he tells his own story. He says, "Kharajtu yawman min bayti ila al-masjid." That one day, I exited from my house to go to the masjid. "Fawajadtu nafaran faqalu." So I met a group of people, and they said, "Ma akhrajaka ya Abu Huraira?" What has caused you to come out and leave your house, O Abu Huraira? He says, "Qultu al-ju'." He said, hunger. فَقَالُوا وَنَحْنُ وَاللَّهِ مَا أَخْرَجَنَا إِلَّا الْجُوعُ. They said, and us, by Allah, we have only come out of our houses because of hunger. Then Abu Hurairah said, فَقَدِمْنَا وَدَخَلْنَا عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So all of us, we carried on going, and we came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And then he said to them, مَا جَاءَكُمْ بِهَذِهِ السَّاعَةِ. What has made you come here at this hour? فَأَخْبَرْنَاهُ. So we informed him. فَدَعَى بِطَبَقٍ فِيهِ التَّمَرِ. So then the Prophet ﷺ, he called for a dish to be brought out which contained in it dates. لِكُلِّ رَجُلٍ مِنَّا تَمَرَتَيْنِ. And for every man or every person amongst this group, they were allowed to have two dates. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, "Kulu hatayn tamratayn." Eat these two dates each. "Washrabu alayha min al-ma." And drink with it water. "Fa innahuma satujziyanikum yawmikum hadha." Because these two dates will suffice your hunger for the rest of the day. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he says, فَأَكَلْتُ tamra, that I only ate one date. Everybody else ate two dates. He only ate one date. وَخَبَّأْتُ الْأُخْرَى, and the other one, I hid it. I took it with me. The Prophet said, يَا أَبَا هُرَيْرَةَ لِمَا رَفَعْتَهَا. O Abu Hurairah, why have you hid the other date? Why have you taken the other date? He says, قُلْتُ لِأُمِّي, that I have taken the second date for my mother. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Kulha wa sanu'tika laha tamratayn." said, eat the other date and we will give you two other dates for your mother. So the point is that just this small act of goodness and generosity from was birr al-walidain, from showing obedience to parents. And these are the things that we have to learn when we're seeking knowledge and we're reading about the Sahaba, things like this. So often when it comes to showing obedience to your parents, your mothers and your fathers, it doesn't require from you a great deal of wealth. It doesn't require from you a great deal of striving. But even small things, like just a small present. Or let's say if you've gone on a journey, on the way back you buy some sweets. These sweets, they might only cost you £2 or £3. Like that's just one date which Abu Huraira wanted to take with him. But it's the act of generosity towards their parents. And these small thoughts, they make parents happy more than the big great gifts that people give. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, whenever he used to enter his house or whenever he want to exit from his house, he would stop by the door. And then he would say, As-salamu alayki ya ummatah wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You say, As-salamu alaykum, my mother, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And then he would make a dua for her. He would say, Rahimakillah kama rabbaytini saghira. May Allah have mercy upon you, just as you had mercy upon you when I was young. And he would do this to implement the ayah when Allah said, Wakhfad lahuma janaha dhulli minal rahma waqul rabbirhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Allah tells us in the Quran, and make a dua to Allah, O my Lord, have mercy upon my parents, meaning in their old age, just as they had mercy upon me in my young age. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he would implement this ayah. And also, what's known about Abu Huraira and his obedience to his mother is that he did not perform Hajj. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he did not perform Hajj because of looking after his mother until she died, and then he performed Hajj. And one day Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he saw two men walking. One was younger and the other one was older. And the younger one was walking in front of the older man. So Abu Huraira, he called them both and he spoke to the younger man and he said, who is this person who is walking behind you? And the man said, this is my father. So then Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he advised him. He said, لا تمشي أمام أبيك. Don't ever walk in front of your father. ولا تجلس قبله. And don't sit down before he sits down. If you're going somewhere, you allow your father to sit down first, then you sit down. If you're entering a building, your house, the masjid, you allow your father to enter first and then you enter. ولا تدعه بسمي. And do not call him by his first name. Use beautiful names. Don't call him by his first name. So these are some of the etiquettes which are mentioned from As-Sahabi al-Jaleel Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda. As for the hadith, min husni islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, from the goodness of a person's Islam is to leave alone that which does not concern him. This hadith is from the core principles of our religion. We said previously that Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimullah, he collected 40 hadith, 42 hadith, but he called them Al-Arba'een An-Nawawiyyah. And these 42 hadith, each one of them is a principle in our religion. There were other ulama who came before him and ulama who came after him. And they also collected 40 hadith. Some of them collected 40 hadith regarding the virtues of jihad. Some of them collected 40 hadith regarding the virtues of knowledge. This compilation, it stands out because these 40 or 42 hadith which he chose, each one of them is a principle from the principles of our religion. And this hadith is a principle when it comes to akhlaq and adab, when it comes to the correct manners and the morals which a person should have. And also when it comes to mu'amalat al-nas, how you interact and deal with people. And also when it comes to dealing with information and what you say and what you listen to and what you spread. This hadith acts as a principle that we should live our lives by. Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he mentions a piece of poetry in which the poet, he mentions four hadith which are like principles in our religion. He said, "Umdatu dini indana kalimatun arba'un min khayri kalamil bariyya." That the umda of our religion, the core pillar of our religion, are four words, or four phrases from the best speech of creation. Ittaqi shubahat. Number one, ittaqi shubahat. Fear or stay away from the doubtful matters. Wazhad and have zuhud. Wada'ma laysa ya'nika wa'amalanna biniyya. And leave alone that which does not concern you. Wa'amalanna biniyya, and act according to your intention. So these four phrases, mean these four ahadith, are umdatuddin. They are the core pillars of our religion. The first of them, ittaqi shubahat. Which hadith does that refer to? Who knows? Innal halala bayyin wa innal harama bayyin wa baynahuma umurun mushtabihatun la ya'lamuhunna kathirun minan nas. The hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir. Wazhad, anybody know the hadith Wazhad? The hadith of Sahal ibn Sa'ad al-Sa'adi, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Izhad fi dunya yuhibbaka Allah. Wazhad fi ma inda an-nas yuhibbaka an-nas. This hadith will come later on in the 40 hadith of Imam an-Nawawi towards the end, last 10 hadith. Then, wada'ma laysa ya'nika, which hadith? وَدَعْمَ لَيْسَ يَعْنِيكَ. The one we're studying. This one. مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي. وَعْمَلَنَّ بِنِيَّةِ. Which hadith? The hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. So these four hadith are like core principles of our religion. عُمْدَةُ الدِّينِ عِنْدَنَا كَلِمَاتٌ أَرْبَعٌ مِنْ خَيْرِ كَلَامِ الْبَرِيَّةِ. اتق الشبهات وزهد ودعما ليس يعنيك واعملن بنية. And this hadith, the one which we are studying, was collected by At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Malik and others. And there is also a wording of the hadith which is من حسن إيمان المرء تركه ما لا يعني. From the goodness of a person's iman is to leave alone that which does not concern him. And subhanAllah, this advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if the people lived by this advice and they implemented this advice, we would find that many of our problems, they would disappear. Many of our problems in our personal lives and our family lives and our social lives and even globally, many of these problems, they would disappear if we all learnt to leave alone that which does not concern us. Do not speak about that which you have no knowledge of, and don't delve into other people's matters. Because right now, one of the biggest fitna which is facing this ummah, especially with social media and YouTube, is that everybody feels that they have a right to give an opinion about everything. You know nothing about politics, but you think that you have an opinion about politics. I know nothing about Islam, yet I have the right to speak about Al-Islam. I have no knowledge of medicine or biology, and yet I can dismiss or affirm what the specialists say or do not say. مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي. From the goodness of a person's Islam is to leave alone that which does not concern him. The Prophet ﷺ in this hadith, he said, مِنْ, from. And in Arabic, this is called min at-tab'idhiyya. Min at-tab'idhiyya. Min at-tab'idhiyya, it means that a part of something. Meaning, a part of the religion, one of the messages that the religion gives us, one of the teachings which Islam teaches us, is that if you want to perfect your Islam, then leave alone that which does not concern you. Or, from the indicators of a goodness of your religion, is that you leave alone that which does not concern you. And this is called min at-tab'idiyya. Then the Prophet said, min husni, from the goodness of a person's Islam. So when the Prophet said husn, meaning al-ihsan, and we have studied previously that ihsan, showing goodness, is two types. Al-ihsan ila al-khaliq, showing goodness to Allah in terms of worshipping Him properly. This is al-ihsan ila al-khaliq. An ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tara, fa'in lam takun tarahu fa'innahu yarak. We studied this. And there's also al-ihsan towards makhluk, towards the rest of creation, showing goodness towards the rest of creation. What is ihsan ila al-makhluk? What is goodness towards the rest of the creation and people? Badhlul ma'roof. To serve the people in goodness. Wa kaful adha. And to stay away from harming and irritating and annoying other creation. Wa talqul wajh. And having a smiling, jovial face, like al-Imam al-Hasan al-Basri rahimullah, he said. So this shows us that showing goodness to the rest of creation is from our religion. And a Muslim has to be known for showing goodness to others, for acts of kindness towards Muslims and non-Muslims, in fact, towards all of creation. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, min husni islamil mar, that this thing which the Prophet is going to guide us towards is from the goodness of your Islam. This is an Islamic teaching. And that is that a person should stay away from that which does not concern him. So a person staying away from those matters which do not concern him isn't linked to his personal desires or his personal tastes or what he wants or doesn't want to do. Rather, it is a command from the Sharia. It is something which the Sharia has ordered us with. And how do we know whether something concerns us or doesn't concern us? How do we know? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith, this ruling of leaving alone that which does not concern you, he attached it to the religion, min husni islam al mar. And there is guidance in Islam which tells us which things we should attach importance to and get involved in, and other things that we should not get involved in. So sometimes you might have something and it doesn't concern you on a personal level, but Islam tells you to get involved in it. And then maybe other things that maybe you can speak about, and maybe it does concern you, but Islam tells you not to speak about it. So in terms of this, the meaning of this hadith, leaving alone that which does not concern you, then it's based upon certain factors and dawabith in the Sharia. So first of all, when it comes to asking questions, what type of questions should you ask and what type of questions should you not ask? There's two types of questions when it comes to Islam. There's a question which is of benefit to you when it comes to your ibadah, when it comes to your aqeedah. Meaning when you ask this question, it's going to provide clarity for you in your worship or increase you in your worship. This type of question you should ask when it comes to understanding fiqh and the rulings and understanding the Quran and the Sunnah, these questions you ask. Then there are other questions which are merely hypothetical, or they haven't occurred, or question which is related to al-Islam but it's got nothing to do with your ibadah, meaning things relating to ilm al-ghayb. A person asks about the nature of the angels, or a person asks about the nature of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the details of this and the details of that. And this question that you're asking has no effect on your ibadah, on your aqidah, nothing at all. These type of questions, la ya'niq, they don't involve you, they don't concern you. The Sahaba alayhim ridwanullah, they never used to question the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about these matters. They used to believe in the ilm al-ghayb which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed them. As for asking the detail of everything, la ya'niq. Also sometimes, what is the logic behind this ibadah? Sometimes this question can also be incorrect. Because not every act of ibadah did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam clarify the logic on a human level. The thing which is upon us, whether we understand the logic or we don't understand the logic, is as-sam'u ta'a, that we listen to the Prophet and we obey his authority. There may be something which doesn't affect you and concern you on a personal level, but as a form of nasiha, of sincere advice, you have to get involved in. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ad-deenu nasiha." This religion is sincere advice. So you may go to a person and advise them, and that person might say to you, it doesn't involve you, it's got nothing to do with you. From the goodness of a person's Islam is to leave alone that which does not concern you. But it concerns you from the angle of that this is nasiha, not that I have any personal business in it. And when it comes to giving nasiha, then whether you're going to be embarrassed by this nasiha or not, or it's difficult for you, or it isn't difficult for you, it has no bearing on whether you should give the nasiha or not. Thirdly, when it comes to al-amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar, encouraging people with goodness and forbidding them from evil. Again, this thing may not concern you on a personal basis, but because it is from al-amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar, then the sharia expects from you to get involved in this. Because Allah said in the Quran, كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر. That you are the best of the nations who have been brought out. Why? Because you order with goodness and you forbid evil. However, this nasiha and ordering with goodness and forbidding evil, this is dependent upon your level and your ability. And also this is from min husni islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, from the goodness of a person's Islam is to leave alone that which does not concern you. So it isn't the case that every evil you have to be the one who's going to speak against it. This isn't the case. You have to look at the level of evil, you have to look at your own level and your ability and your authority which you have. So there are some types of evil that because you don't have any authority and it's not your level to speak about them, you don't speak about them. And then there are other types of evil which you have to speak about. And this is from the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadih." Whoever amongst you sees an evil, then change it with his hands. Then he said, "Fa'in lam yastati' fabilisanihi." If you don't have the ability to change it with your hands and speak against it, فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ, and if you don't have the ability to speak against it with your tongue, then hate it in your heart. وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ, this is the weakest type of iman. The point is that amongst us are those people who can change something by their hands, so they do so. There are other people who cannot change by their hands, so they speak against it. There are other people who don't have the ability or the authority to speak against it, so therefore they hate it in their hearts. So when it comes to al-amr bil-ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar, ordering goodness and forbidding evil, then you have to understand the level of evil and your own level and the authority which you have. Also, weighing up the potential harms and the potential benefits. Al-masalih wal-mafasid. So if you're going to go around making an issue of a small sin, and yet you're leaving the bigger sin and it's going to cause more fasad, then you don't do that. And this is from min husni islam al mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, from the goodness of a person's Islam is to leave alone that which does not concern him. Also, entering into the issues in your family, it may not concern your life, but it is a responsibility upon you to have concern for your family members, your fathers and your mothers and your brothers and your sisters and your sons and your daughters, checking on them, advising them, getting involved in their life. This is also from those things which you should get involved in, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara." O people of iman, save yourselves and your families from the fire. So for example, if you advise your sister with something and she says it isn't anything which concerns you, it does concern you. Why? Because it is from the angle of an-nasiha. Also, there are certain matters which do not concern us and we shouldn't speak about. So for example, speaking about things which affect the whole ummah. Us as normal common people, we shouldn't be quick to give our opinion upon something which may affect the blood or the honor or the property of thousands, if not millions of people. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he prophesied of a time when there will be a ruwaybidah. And then the companions asked, they said, Ya Rasulullah, wa mar ruwaybidah? O Messenger of Allah, who are ar-ruwaybidah? He said, ar-rajul at-tafih yatakallamu fi umuril amma. That a person who himself is a nobody, lost, doesn't know anything, and yet he speaks about the issues which are going to affect the common masses. Things which pertain to jihad and governments and politics and things like this. We shouldn't be quick to give our opinion and spread fasad. Because a word you may say, it might have dire consequences. Those people speak about those things are the ones who know, and they have knowledge and they have expertise. Min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. From the goodness of a person's Islam is to leave alone that which does not concern him. Also, speaking about the Muslim rulers and making takfir of them and calling for rebellion, we know that this is against the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the manhaj of the Salaf. Judging other people, making takfir of other Muslims, making tabdi' of other Muslims, making tafsiq of other Muslims, I passing on rulings and judgments upon other Muslims. This is for the people of knowledge. It doesn't concern us. So we can speak about something being kufr or bid'ah or fisq. As for passing the ruling upon the person, then we leave that to the ulama, the people of knowledge. Because min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. From the goodness of a person's Islam is to leave alone that which does not concern him. Also, those matters which you should get involved in is rectifying, bringing rectification between the Muslims. So two Muslims, it may be husband and wife, it may be two friends, it may be two brothers, they had a problem with each other, they've fallen out. You as a third person, it doesn't concern you on a personal level. You aren't going to benefit or lose anything by getting involved. But from the angle of bringing Muslims together and bringing Islah, then it is required if you have the ability and the expertise to do so. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, لا خير في كثير من نجواهم. That there is no goodness in the majority of their talkings and their meetings. He said, إلا من أمر بالصدقة. Except that the one who orders people with charity, أو معروف, or he orders with goodness, أو إصلاح بين الناس, or he has these closed meetings in order to rectify between the people. So this is something which may not concern you, but the Sharia requires for you to get involved in. Also, asking about people's personal life, it doesn't concern you. How much wage does this person earn? How many houses does he own? What does he do in his spare time? It doesn't concern you. It's a person's private matters. Min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. Also, there is a principle, and in reality, it's an important principle. Laysa kullu ma yu'lam yuqal. It isn't the case that everything which you know, you have to speak about. There are some things which you know, and you don't need to speak about them. So you shouldn't be of this mindset that every opinion which I have, I need to make this opinion known. It's from intelligence that sometimes you have an opinion, but you keep it to yourself. Maybe if you show this opinion, other people won't understand, and therefore you will be a fitna for the people. The people or the masjid, they're on a particular way. And we're not talking about kufr and bid'ah, we're just talking about ikhtilaf of fiqh. And you have a particular opinion. Doesn't mean you have to come out and tell the people, right, leave this and do this. You leave the people what they are upon, because you're going to be a fitna for the people. So it isn't that everything which you know has to be stated. Knowing something is according to how much knowledge you have. Saying something is according to if there's any benefit behind this statement or if there's harm upon this statement. So you may know something, but if you verbalize what you know, it may cause a greater harm. So therefore you don't speak with it. So this is an important principle. You realize it the more older you become. Often, problems occur between people because a person had an opinion and he feels that he has to make his opinion known. Why do you have to make your opinion known? If it isn't going to bring any benefit to the people, keep your opinion to yourself. You may be right, you may be wrong. So sometimes somebody might say something, you have an opinion about it, but you keep it to yourself. You wait days, you wait weeks, and then you know maybe you were wrong in what you said. So the point is that all of these are issues or guidelines when it comes to what you should get involved in and what you shouldn't get involved in. Then he said, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي. From the goodness of a person's Islam is to leave alone that which does not concern him. The understanding of this hadith is, therefore, from the goodness of a person's Islam is to attach importance to what does concern you. Both ways. Things which don't concern you, stay away from it. And this is an indicator of how good your Islam is. But the opposite is also true. Those things which will benefit you and do concern you, then get involved in them and learn about them and speak about them. And this is also an indicator of your Islam. So as I mentioned, your ibadah and learning about the Quran and the Sunnah and involving yourself in the issues of your family and your neighborhood, your neighbors, these things, they concern you. So just as it is an indicator of the goodness of your Islam to leave alone those things which do not concern you, it is also goodness, an indicator of the goodness of your Islam to involve your things in those things which bring benefit to you and the community which is around you. And therefore, there's a principle, and that is, المؤمن منشغل عما لا يعني بما يعني. That a believer should occupy himself with those things that do concern him, so he doesn't need to waste his time in those things which do not concern him. If you are busy with those things which will benefit you and which do concern you, and they will bring you goodness in this life and in the hereafter, then you won't have any time to involve yourself in those things which do not concern you. So the ikhtilaf between the scholars, the fitna which occurs between communities. If you are busy with your ibadah and those things which will benefit you and the jahl which you have, you won't have time to talk about this alim said this about this alim, this fitna is this. You will not have time for it. And always, free time, ignorance and wealth corrupts a person. Whenever a person has free time, combined with this money and combined with this youth and ignorance, then it can corrupt a person. Because this young person, he has energy and enthusiasm. Now this energy and enthusiasm, it isn't being directed towards anything which will benefit him. So then what does he do with this enthusiasm? He starts placing in matters which will corrupt those who are around him. On top of this, he has wealth. And then that wealth destroys even more. And that's why Abu al-Itahiyya is a famous poet. He said, إِنَّ الشَّبَابَ وَالْفِرَاغَ وَالْجِدَّةِ. He said, verily, youthfulness and free time and money, مَفْسَدَةٌ لِلْمَرْءِ إِيَّ مَفْسَدَةٌ. It will corrupt a person and corrupt him a lot. These three things. Youth having energy and enthusiasm, and then free time where you're not busy with things which will benefit you, and then having money. It corrupts a person. As I mentioned, this hadith is from the usul of al-Islam when it comes to al-adab, when it comes to the correct morals and manners we should have as Muslims. Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani, the Imam of the Malikiyya, he said, جِمَاعُ آدَابِ الْخَيْرِ تَتَفَرَّعُ مِنْ أَرْبَعِ أَحَادِيثِ. That the basis of all goodness when it comes to manners, it branches off from four hadith. There are four hadith. If you act by these four hadith, then you have goodness in you بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. The first of them, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرٌ أَوْ الْيَصْمُتْ. Whoever has iman in Allah and the final day, then speak with goodness or you remain silent. Whoever has iman in Allah on the final day, then speak with goodness or remain silent. The second hadith, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي this hadith which we are studying. The third hadith, when the man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seeking his advice, the Prophet says, "La taghdab," don't become angry. And he kept repeating it over and over again. "La taghdab, la taghdab," don't become angry, don't become angry. And in the fourth hadith, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibba li nafsi," that none of you truly believes until he loves for his brother that which he loves for him, for himself. These four hadith, if we implement them, we act upon them, jama'ul khair, it will bring goodness in our lives. Ibn Rajab mentions that one day a man, he passed by Luqman al-Hakim. And Luqman al-Hakim, the wise, he was sitting around a lot of people sitting around him, meaning he became popular with the people. He became famous and trusted with the people. So the man said to him, "Ma balagha bika ma ara," how have you reached this trust and this popularity and this friendship amongst the people? He said, "Sidqul hadith," firstly, when I speak the truth. "Wa ada'ul amana," and I fulfill the trust. "Wa tarki ma la ya'ni," and I leave alone that which does not concern me. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.